The topic of my presentation is fine mapping of the high endosperm digestibility trait using near isogenic lines in sorghum. First, a little introduction of sorghum. Sorghum is used as a staple food in Asia and Africa, and it's the fifth most abundant crop worldwide, and the third most abundant important crop in the US after corn and wheat. 48% of the sorghum that's produced in the world is used for livestock feed, so it's a major the animals are the major consumers. And 30% are grown in the US is used for ethanol production. If the production of sorghum increases, it will also increase its usage towards ethanol production. And apart from using the grain byproducts are also sold by the bioethanol systems as distillers feed. And this feed is also used for animal feed. But there are two problems associated with sorghum being used for the ethanol production. The first one being the low digestibility, and the second one is the high energy requirements for the breakdown of sorghum. And these two disadvantages are explained by the two problems. The first one is the starch in the sorghum grain is bound by a protein body matrix, and which makes it resistant for enzyme degradation. And the second one is the high amylose content in the sorghum. The high amylose in the sorghum needs high energy to break down, and so we are putting in more energy to break sorghum instead of what we are getting out. This is a structure of the grain sorghum. The major part of the grain sorghum is the endosperm, which constitutes of 68% to 78%. And this endosperm is made up of starch and protein. Starch consists of 60% to 77%, and the protein body matrix is made up of prolamines, which are called as caffrins. And the caffrins are of three types: alpha, beta, and gamma caffrins. The alpha caffrins are the major type of caffrins present in sorghum, and it's 60% to 70%. This is a structure of a wild-type sorghum. This is a protein body of a wild-type sorghum. In this protein body, the alpha caffrins are in the center, whereas the surrounding, the outer layer is made up of beta and gamma caffrins. The alpha caffrins, which are in the center, are highly digestible by the enzymes, but the gamma and the beta caffrins have high disulfide bonds, which makes them resistant for digestion. And this gamma caffrins, because the alpha caffrins are in the center, if the gamma and the beta caffrins are not broken down, the alpha caffrin is also not available for degradation. So this is the main reason. So a HD mutant was developed using a high lysine chemical mutant, which is P271Q. In this mutant, it was observed that 10 to 15% of protein was highly digestible when uncooked, and 25% higher protein digestibility when cooked. And this increase in the protein digestibility was only due to the increase in the digestion of alpha caffrins. When the mutant structure was observed, where mutant protein body was observed, there was a rearrangement of gamma caffrins in these protein bodies. The gamma caffrins were only present in these folds. Instead of being present in the outer layer, the gamma caffrins were only present here. So the alpha caffrins were highly exposed, and the surface area for the enzyme hydrolysis also increased. This increased the total protein digestion. And another added advantage of using this HD mutant is the distiller's feed that is produced using this grain had higher lysine content, because the parent had higher lysine. The parent from which it was developed is a higher lysine mutant. Another trait that we are interested in is in the waxy trait. The waxy trait is associated with little or no amylose in the endosperm. The starch is completely in the form of amylopectin. Because of this amylopectin, it gives an appearance of candle wax, and hence the name of the trait, it's a waxy trait. This trait was identified in 1933, and the reason for the starch being completely in the form of amylopectin is absence or inactivation of granule-bound starch synthase. The waxy lines also have a relatively weak endosperm protein matrix, so they are proven to be better for brewing and bioethanol production. waxy and heterowaxy. The heterowaxy lines here have one parent waxy and one is the wild type. So the waxy and heterowaxy need shorter times for degradation, for starch gelatinization, and the lower temperatures also. The waxy lines gelatinize at 69.6 degrees centigrade, whereas the heterowaxy needs 71.1, and the wild types need 71.1 to 73.3 degrees centigrade. Our prediction is when we combine these two traits, the high digestible trait and the waxy trait, it will solve the four major limitations of using sorghum for biofuels or for beer production. The first one is it will take off the inhibitory kaffirin matrix, which will expose the starch granules for degradation. It will also reduce the temperatures for starch gelatinization and enzymatic hydrolysis. And the distiller's feed also will have higher lysine content. But there are some problems associated with the HD trait. The phenotyping of the HD trait is time consuming and variable. We use assay here, which takes a lot of time and the results vary a lot. And there is a gap in the knowledge for the development of sorghum cultivars with optimal endosperm matrix for bioethanol conversion. Based on this, our objectives are to phenotype the HD trait in recombinant inbred line population and to validate and fine map QTLs regulating HD trait in the near isogenic lines. First, the phenotyping recombinant inbred line population was developed using P850029 and Surano. The P850029 line is the high digestible line and Surano is an allied sorghum line. Protein digestibility assay was done using the method developed by Mertz et al. And the protein digestibility is calculated using the formula. The problems associated with using this assay is the sensitivity of the assay and the reliability. The results vary from one replication to the other a lot, and the assay is time consuming. So if we have a number of sorghum lines to assay, it's going to take a long time and expensive. It's expensive too. So a different method of phenotyping is also used. It's visual examination of the seed. The seeds are cut into half and observed on a light box. We found a difference in the endosperm structure. The high digestible endosperm had a large opaque portion extending to the peripheral vitreous portion. I mean, there is no light passing through it, so the seed look very opaque. But the wild-type endosperm has a small opaque center and followed by the translucent vitreous portion. So based on this, the lines were scored, and both the phenotypic data from the first assay and the second one are used in mapping for the trait. The second objective here is the identification, validation, and fine mapping of the high digestible QTLs. DNA is extracted from the recombinant inbred lines, and SSR primers are used. Lines are scored as A for the Surano allele and B for the high digestible parent and H for the heterozygote. Genotypic and phenotypic data was used to identify the HD QTLs. A LOD score of 2.5 or greater was used to identify the QTLs. Based on this, the preliminary map, there's a preliminary map here, which is very close to the map that was published in Bakhtar Mukhi et al. In 2000. The markers here are X3XP355, and there is this marker here, and the 32 is here. So most of our map does coincide with the map that is already published here. And in this table shows the QTLs. We found a QTL around X3XP43 and X3XP329 around these two markers. And if we go back, on the map that was published earlier, there very close to this X3XP43, there is a kaffirin gene. So we think it's a kaffirin gene that's causing the high digestible trait in this grain. But if we want to find QTLs on the RIL population, there are some problems associated. The QTL resolution is very limited if we are using recombinant inbred lines, and there is a confounded effect of other phenotypic traits still segregating in this population. So for fine mapping and QTL validation, we are using near-isogenic lines. The near-isogenic lines here differ only in overlapping regions of the genome. And NILs, the near-isogenic lines can be developed by selection within the heterogeneous inbred families. The HIPs here are the lines derived from an inbred that has not reached a high level of homozygosity yet. This is a table showing the high digestible lines and low digestible lines, waxy lines. This line here shows the efficiency at 24 hours. There is a lot of difference in the efficiency at 24 hours in the high digestible lines and the low digestible lines. But at the end, all of the lines are reaching the same efficiency. The 72 hours is the end time of ethanol production. So the efficiencies here are around 85 to 86%. The waxy lines here have a higher efficiency at the end time, but they have lower efficiencies at 24 hours. The same thing is shown in this graph too. These three lines here are the high digestible lines. The high digestible lines reach their efficiencies a lot quicker than the other lines at around like 26 to 28 hours. But the efficiencies are around 85% only. The two lines here, these two lines here are the waxy lines. The waxy lines take a little longer time for production of the ethanol and getting into their efficiencies, but the rate of efficiency here is around 93%. So when we combine these two traits, we are getting sorghum that will be fermented a lot quicker and will reach a higher efficiency. This is a table showing the amino acid composition. Here it's divided into the essential amino acids and the non-essential amino acids. The main concentration here will be the lysine, which is an essential amino acid. And the lysine here, the red lines here are the high digestible lines. The blue ones are the waxy lines, and the wild type are the black ones. The red ones have the higher lysine content compared to the black ones, which are the wild type. There is no difference between the lysine in the waxy type because the lysine is only found in the HD parent, the difference in the lysine contents. Coming to the conclusions, the combination of these two modified endosperm traits, the high digestible and the waxy, is giving a 62% faster efficiency at 24 hours and 15% greater final efficiency at 72 hours. And it maintains 100% higher lysine content in the distiller's grain, which will be an added advantage to feed the animals. The high digestible combined with the waxy trait also increases the free amino nitrogen and beer making quality of sorghum. That's it. I'd like to thank my colleagues who helped me a lot in the lab and funding by AgriLife Research and Sun Grant Initiative and Ensormel. I can take some questions.